The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
LeBron James is speaking in past tense. He's speaking with resignation. So what was lost along with the remainder of the season? What name in the almanac would have had beside it NBA champion? Whose arms would have raised the trophy? Which legacy would have been burnished? We might be able to reverse engineer this thing. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, how many Super Bowls would Tom Brady have won if he'd been a Baltimore Raven? And when we talk about returning to normalcy, we talk about returning to a time just a few months ago. But when it comes to college football and what our immediate future may look like, it may indeed involve going backwards in time. It may indeed involve normalcy looking like the past, but not the near distant past, rather the far distant past. College football's future may look like the 1960s. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's looking more and more like this NBA season is lost. You can hear the desperation, the depression, the resignation in voices around the league, from NBA insiders like Brian Windhorst to NBA stars like LeBron James. Last night, the King had a teleconference. He talked about what's been lost, what's been gained, what was accomplished this season. I want you to notice, when he talks, he kind of talks in the past tense. Here's LeBron James.
I don't know if I will be able to have any closure. I can have some satisfaction on what our team has been able to do this year, having a first-year coach, first-year system, bringing on so many new pieces to our team this year, doing the things that, honestly, like I told you guys all year, I honestly didn't think that we would be able to come together as fast as we did, just having the whole new system, having so many new players, having so many new pieces. You know, bringing in Anthony, he spent 7 years in New Orleans, so he was coming into a new system, playing along with myself, and how we'd be able to come together. I thought it would take us a lot longer than it did, but I was wrong. I will have some satisfaction, like I said, on just being with my brothers, thinking about some of the road trips that we had, thinking about some of the games that we lost, some of the games that we won, some of the games that we overcame, and then that everything that we've been going through this season, just the ups and downs, not only on the floor, but off the floor, everything that we've had to endure as the Lakers faithful and us as players and coaching staff and organization has been so much so. Closure, no. But to be proud of what we've been able to accomplish to this point, I'll be able to look back and be like, okay, you did something special in that small period of time.
But it is a lost season. It is an asterisk in the record book. And I think it would have been a championship season. I know they didn't have the best record in the league. The Los Angeles Lakers at 49-14 trailed the Milwaukee Bucks at 53-12. The Clippers, right behind them both, at 44-20. But I think the Lakers weren't getting full credit for what they'd accomplished already this season, what LeBron James is referencing right there. I don't think they're getting full credit for what they did in the final weekend of the season as they beat both the Clippers and the Bucks. I believe this would have been a championship season for the Los Angeles Lakers. But that's simply my belief. We can reverse engineer this thing. Now, I don't believe in numerology, but when you start looking at the NBA's past, you might get a glimpse into its future. I got a buddy in New York. He drives an Uber, and he's into numerology. He's from Africa, and he's got a little book. He plays the numbers in Harlem, and this book tells him the patterns you can look at, what numbers lead to the next. They're totally divorced from reality. I mean, there's no connection to what these numbers mean. They're not quantifying anything. It's just patterns that you're seeing in the numbers. The NBA actually lends itself to patterns. It actually lends itself to numerology. And what it suggests is whoever the champion is next year in 2021 when we come back probably gives us insight into who would have been the champion in 2020. We might be able to reverse engineer this thing. What I mean is this. The NBA is a league that is built on dynasties. It's very rarely a one and done champion. The NFL, that's full of random chance. One-game playoffs, anyone can win. When you look at the NFL record books, you'll see champions scattered here and there, one and done. But when you look at the NBA, it's patterns. It's dynasties. It's the Bulls with six, the Spurs with five. It's the Lakers with three and then two. It's the Warriors with three. Rarely does a franchise jump up, win one, and then recede back to the pack. You got the 2004 Detroit Pistons. They did that. You got the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. They did that. And you have the 2019 Toronto Raptors. They also jumped up, 1-1. And all the Raptors were good this year. They were nobody's title favorites. So what you realize is one and done. Randomness. Rising to the top, then receding to the pack is rarely the case in the NBA. Rather, it's a succession of dynasties, a succession of repeat champions, one after another. If we presume that's the pattern, if we presume that's the standard operating procedure in the NBA, whoever would have won in 2020 is the team that will probably win in 2021. And as you look at the rosters of the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, what you realize is 2021's champion is probably likely to come from that same pack. But I don't know that we can put the Lakers as the favorites. Most of each of those squads' teams will come back, are under contract for 2020-2021 season. After that, it's all bets off. Giannis is a free agent. We don't know what AD will do this next year. He's got a player option. But in large part, it will be Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams coming back for the Clippers. If AD opts back in or re-signs with the Lakers, you're going to have the core components of that Lakers squad coming back. And Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe will all be there for the Bucks. But they will all also be 1 year older. And for a guy who's been in the league for 17 years, how many years can we continue to bet that LeBron James will be in his prime? In other words, while I feel the Lakers would have won it all in 2020, if you're betting on who the champion is in 2021 and saying to yourself, patterns emerge, dynasties are built, repeat champions are common, I don't know that we can say the Lakers would be the champions in 2021. Were they at the beginning of a 2-3-4-time championship performance? Do you feel good about that? Or do you feel better that the Clippers were in the verge of one of those runs? Or in fact, Giannis and the Bucks were about to begin their dynasty. Jalen Rose, ESPN basketball analyst, he was on Get Up, and he's somewhat pessimistic for what was lost this year for the Lakers. He's somewhat pessimistic for the one-time champion. He saw the window for LeBron, and he saw it now. Listen.
If you look at LeBron James in his 17th year, Greeny, at his age, when you build a squad around him, of course Anthony Davis is an anchor, but then all of a sudden you look deeper into the roster, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Avery Bradley, Danny Green, Rajon Rondo, they don't have long-term situations with the Lakers. They were brought there to try to win a championship this year. So therefore, if this squad isn't playing, what happens next year to a Kyle Kuzma, who really didn't fit in with Anthony Davis and LeBron because he got injured as the season started? So for LeBron, other teams are ascending. The Clippers in their own building, the Bucks in the Eastern Conference with Giannis, who's probably going to win this year's MVP. So absolutely, this is LeBron's window. If they don't get it done this year, I don't believe it happens.
Jalen Rose saying this one year, this one moment in time, the moment that has now been lost, was the LeBron James Lakers window. I feel good that they would have won it all this year, but I don't feel as good that they would have won it in 2021 or 2022. And if I recognize the patterns, if I play the numerology, if I say that the NBA is more often than not a league dominated by dynasties, I can't say the Lakers, more so than the Bucks or the Clippers, were on the verge of that dynasty. Further emphasizing exactly what was lost, exactly which window might have closed. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. If Tom Brady hadn't been a New England Patriot all along, if in fact, let's say, the Baltimore Ravens, who reportedly were interested in Brady, had drafted him instead of Bill Belichick, how many championships would he have won? It can't be more than six, right? That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Although he has a lifetime record of 8-4 against the Ravens, it's fair to say the Ravens were one of Tom Brady's biggest threats throughout his dynastic career. Of course, you had the Broncos and the Colts at various times. But the Ravens amassed one hell of a roster throughout the 2000s and into the teens. Daniel Jeremiah, an analyst for the NFL Network, talked about all the guys on those Ravens teams. Think about it. Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis. What if Tom Brady had been a Raven? 6-3, his Super Bowl record with the Patriots. What would it have been like if he'd ended up a teammate instead of an opponent with all those defensive studs in Baltimore? Daniel Jeremiah went on to the Dan Patrick Show, and he actually gave us a number. Listen.
Tom, if you were the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens with their personnel, how many Super Bowls would you have won there? I bet you if he told the truth, he'd say 10.
Really?
I mean, look at the personnel, Dan. Compare the personnel of those two teams outside of the quarterback position for the 2000s decade. Like, I think he would won 10 Super Bowls. You've got arguably the greatest middle linebacker of all time, arguably the greatest free safety of all time. You've got Terrell Suggs, who's probably a Hall of Famer. You've got Haloti Ngata, who's a perennial Pro Bowler. You've got Chris McAllister. You've got the top three left tackle in NFL history Jonathan Ogden.
A Hall of Fame tight end.
Rusher. Yeah, you've got a Hall of Fame tight end, plus his backup, Todd Heap, was a perennial Pro Bowler, a 2,000-yard rusher. You don't think Tom Brady would have won? I think he would have won 10 Super Bowls. I don't think that's crazy. He won six with the guys they had in New England.
I know.
I don't think Daniel Jeremiah is a hot take artist, but I think he is getting out a little over his skis on this one. So let's kind of see if we can even the playing field. He does a great job for laying out the talent for the Ravens, of course, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and on and on. There was also some talent in New England at various times, and it's hard to remember it all because it's been 20 years worth of talent, but it was Gronkowski, it was Brewski, it was all kinds of Randy Moss and Welker and Edelman all over the field with Brady. So let's not act like it was always like the squad he had in 2019. It wasn't. He had talent throughout those years as well. And I don't even have to submit that it was on the same exact level as the Ravens. But of course, there's one great equalizer. There's one great weight on this balancing scale between the Ravens and the Patriots. And of course, that's Bill Belichick. John Harbaugh's a great coach. John Harbaugh wasn't there for all of those years he's talking about, but nobody is Bill Belichick. How many great players do you think Bill Belichick is worth? And I don't think this undercuts the debate about whether or not it was more Brady or more Belichick. I don't think this undercuts the debate about who's going to have a better 2021, 2020 between Brady and Belichick. I think it will be Brady. I think it will be the Bucks that have a better immediate future than Belichick and the Pats. But how many great players do you think Belichick is worth? Because I think it's much more than one or two. In-game adjustments, cold-hearted roster management, tough decisions, culture in the building. Bill Belichick is worth 4, 5, 6 good players, 3, 4 Pro Bowl players, and maybe even one or two Hall of Fame level players on that roster. And I don't think that's getting out over my skis. He won 6 Super Bowls with Tom Brady, went to 9. It's really hard to say no matter where Brady was, with whatever roster he had, he would have won more than that, much less 10. No, the history of the NFL is rather great talent falling short because of culture, because of attrition, because of injury, because of mistakes, because of randomness and luck. How many would-be dynasties were not? Remember the Seattle Seahawks? That was supposed to be a dynasty, as was the Philadelphia Eagles when they won their Super Bowl. Young, built along the defensive line, ready to dominate. But it didn't happen. It's because that is the fairway. That's the place that most people land. When they strike the ball, the average out is that most teams win one, at best two, not six, and certainly not 10. No, the difference isn't talent. That keeps you from one Super Bowl to six, that jumps you up from the average performance to the historic performance. No, it's coaching. It was Bill Belichick, who's worth more than that Ravens roster. Did you see this story? I know everybody here on the show talked about it in our pre-show meeting. Dr. Anthony Fauci, our nation's coronavirus leader, has suggested that we retire the handshake. Count me out. He said, not only will we be able to fight coronavirus, but all influenza going forward, all infection going forward, if we'll just stop shaking hands. And I'm thinking, that's the last refuge of humanity we have left. Everywhere we go where people are distancing each from each other, before coronavirus, we're staring into screens. Before coronavirus, we were neglecting to look each other in the eye. Before this national quarantine, we were moving away from each other. How are you going to measure a man without a handshake? I don't care how John Wayne it is, old school, I believe a firm handshake communicates as much as the first words in an introduction. And I'm here to tell you, man, I'm going to keep shaking hands. I don't know what everyone else is going to adopt. If we want to start bowing, I don't know that I can move there. I don't know how to judge your bow. I don't know how to judge whether or not, you know, you're a man of character and a man of your word like I do with a handshake. What do we do there? Do you think Japan, they have their own customs on that? Their own levels of judgment the way we do with a handshake? Do you see Pat's bow? Yeah, wasn't very deep. Don't you see Bubba? Always got to be the last bower, you know? I bow, he bows. I bow again, he bows again. He always has to get the last bow in. It's like the quick grip handshaker. Why you got to grip me so quick? Well, we can both get a firm handshake in. You don't have to grip my fingers and exert your dominance. Now, we need all that. And I don't know. Once we move to the bow, I don't know how to read all that into it. And we need to read all that into it. We need nonverbal communication. I mean, I swear with this world staring through our phones, communicating through FaceTime and Zoom now, through Instagram, we're losing whatever it was before. And I think nonverbal communication was something like, according to studies, 60, 70% of communication. Eye contact, handshakes. No, sir. I need all that. Now, judge a man now by his Twitter handle. Is he a man of integrity? I don't know. Did you see his Twitter handle? How big is his screen? I don't know that either. We're going to have to come up with some other ideas. I'm not ready to retire the handshake, but I need to know. If we're not going to be handshaking, how are we going to measure a man with whatever we replace it with? Greg in Milwaukee is on the phone line. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Will. Big fan of the show. I actually want to rebuttal about the Lakers winning the championship.
Yep.
I just don't feel that they have the good enough chemistry like the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks do have a well enough bench to withstand anything. I figure with, you know, Giannis becoming a new dad, that played a part of it. But I figured after this time, the Bucks have a better gel. And I think they would have went all the way up to game seven.
Well, I definitely like the Bucks, and I definitely like Giannis, Greg. I appreciate the call. But I just feel like, and I'm really not going to give you any particular evidence that's going to persuade you. I know about offensive and defensive efficiency. I know what the Bucks are. I know what they were doing. I also know where they fell short last year, but I also believe in their improvement. But I just feel like, as unpersuasive as this might be, it was the Lakers' year. It was all coming together in this moment for them. They were clicking, as LeBron pointed out. He and AD were starting to work. That supporting cast was actually playing above its head. I do believe this was the window. I do believe this was their year. But I don't believe this was the beginning of their dynasty. And if As I point out, numerology and patterns are actually what plays out. And if we can look at who would have been the champion in 2021 and reverse engineer that into 2020, that might support your case. Because if I have to pick between the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Lakers and say who was actually on the verge, not of a championship, but a dynasty, the Lakers would be third in that pecking order. Our coming up, Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL Insider, is going to jump in with us. She can tell us exactly where Tua, the Dolphins, and the Chargers might all be looking to bring their futures together. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
What can the Washington Redskins get for the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft? And if you think about their options, might the worst one be keeping the pick and taking Chase Young, the defensive end out of Ohio State? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. We got Nuno, we got Bubba, we got Pat today, and we got almost everybody masked up. New policy in Bristol. Wear your mask at work. Nuno looks like Shredder, and Pat looks like a bandito. But everybody is masked up and ready to go. As is Diana Rossini, ESPN's NFL insider, who is on our phone line. What's up, Diana?
Nuno's still talking to her.
Are you serious?
I promise.
Oh, she's
listen
there.
To your muffled voices through the mask.
Pack and lock her in.
Well, let me just ask you a question. Pat told me like 30 seconds ago she was there, and then you kept talking to her to make her unavailable when I was ready to go to her?
We were trying to figure out what was going on here. Why we could, like, when I was calling her, it was just going straight to voicemail. I thought I was going to start taking it personal.
Was she wondering why it sounded like you were talking into your pillow?
No, I don't think she was wondering that.
But everybody can hear it, right?
He sounds, I actually think he sounds perfect. He sounds really clear.
You don't hear that? He's got a mask on. You can't hear it kind of muffled as he talks through the mask?
No, but there is a really weird thing with your show. Whenever, it's just your show, too. Whenever you guys call me, it just goes to voicemail. It's like my phone has this, like, app on it that's like, Will Cain? No.
I mean, I was going to make the joke, but you went ahead and completed the picture for me. Somehow you've got me blocked. Anything associated with my name. I'm going to go to Twitter real quick, see if I'm blocked over there, too, Rossini.
Never. You know, I love you. Actually, I don't know what it is. This was way before the coronavirus situation and all the weird ways that we've had to work. For whatever reason, it just, anything from Bristol doesn't go through. So apologies for that, but it's so good to hear your voice. I wish I could see you. In fact, this is probably the first time in my entire career I wish I was actually sitting next to you in the studio. Because, man, I miss faces. I miss people. And obviously sports, just like the rest of us. And hopefully you guys are all safe and everyone's taking care of themselves.
No, we are, Dan, and we hope the same thing for you. We do have some semblance of sports. The NFL has given us that. The NFL's offseason is really one of the biggest sports in America. If you start ranking sports, it's like NFL, college football, NBA, NFL offseason. Your ranking would probably go something like that, and the NFL offseason continues on. We got the NFL draft in a few weeks. I think one of the most interesting stories, one of the most interesting points in the draft is clearly number 2 with the Washington Redskins. While everyone else is focused on the Detroit Lions at 3 being the primary trade target, the Redskins really have all the power in their hands. And there's an interesting article up on ESPN right now about what they should do. It lays out all kinds of statistical analysis. And Diana, it says the least attractive option would actually be standing pat and taking Chase Young. But is that exactly what they're going to do?
The sense that I'm getting from talking to them over the last few weeks is they're going to go in that direction. Now, that being said, I feel like you always have to fish and just throw out all those options the way that the article did as well. And I recently spoke with someone there and said, well, trading back seems like it could be really smart in terms of just getting more picks. You guys can pick up some guys, hopefully on offense, because you're going to need it. And it didn't really, I didn't get a sense of like that is completely off the table. So, you know, you always go back to the, what was it, the great Dave Gettleman once said, don't worry so much about the position, just take the best player, you know, in the draft. And, you you know, Chase Young is obviously one of the best players in this draft. So he certainly could step in there and improve this team immediately. I'm shocked you didn't go. I thought you were going to ask me about the quarterback situation there, because I was fishing around about whether or not they really were going to stick with Dwayne Haskins. I thought that there was a chance that they could move on with this new regime. But to answer the question I had and that you didn't ask, I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to. I don't think they're moving on from Dwayne. I think they want to give him another year and see if this new group can build him up and get him to that level that they're hoping for.
Well, that was my follow-up question, Rossini. It was, in fact, if they're going to stay pat. And you're asking them things that are off the table. You say that they're not taking a trade down off the table. You didn't feel like that was the sense you were getting. But I was curious, were you getting any sense of an interest in taking Tua?
It got shut down pretty early. Just going back to free agency when I was just talking to them about other stuff for signings and, you know, who they were looking at. I was like, oh, yeah, well, I got you. I think they're committed as an organization, or at least I believe they're committed as an organization to sticking with Dwayne Haskins. As much as I thought maybe they could pull a Cardinals move, you know, and just punt on it, back-to-back years and go quarterback. But, we know how much the owner likes Haskins, and there's many there that believe that he showed really good improvement during the year, but here's the, you know, the other layer to this, as we've been talking about on the air for weeks now, is coronavirus has had so much effect on players and coaches, especially, you know, coaches that are in a new organization and a team that's got to learn all the new people. That's been like all the conversations I've had over the last week, which is incredible how much you can get people on the phone now. But everyone's talking about the same thing, which is this is just going to be really hard because it's a new offseason for this team, and they don't know what to expect. It's a new head coach.
Diana Rossini here on The Will Cain Show. I saw you tweeting about this. The draft is going to be virtual. Everyone's going to be connected through the internet, whether or not it's Zoom or on their phones. They're going to be trying to conduct the draft with everybody remote. Now, you tweeted out that you'd heard from a lot of teams. They are worried about getting hacked. Would you say the bigger concerns are about getting their kind of privacy invaded by either other teams or anyone for that matter? Or is it that this is just going to fail? Somehow they're not technologically up to the snuff to get it all done.
The firewall conversation is the one that has come up the most. Like, they want to make sure no one can get in. Their NFL teams are so paranoid about information in their club. Like, that's just, for whatever reason, I mean, we know why, but their concerns are people just hacking in. I'm going to guess there's going to be idiots out there who are going to try to do it. I don't think this is a concern or a paranoia about another team doing it. It's just about the public out there getting access to the software, to the technology they're using. That has been the biggest concern. And then the story now so far past the draft now are obviously these workouts can't go down. So talking to teams and coaches, GMs, even some players about how they're going to work out, how is this going to go virtually? Players get iPads. And on their iPads is film from the season before, game footage. That's all it's allowed. I never realized that. I thought they were given more stuff on that iPad. The playbook, you know, videos of the plays, perhaps. They don't get any of that. And there's a lot of conversation being had right now that they're going to let them download on their iPads playbooks along with voiceovers over some plays of their coaches to instruct. So this could be a really good teaching mechanism or tool for these guys as we try to figure out, you know, life in 2020.
Only have a minute or so left. I don't ask you this. These kind of things, I feel like the pace of this, Diana, is it goes slow, 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 and then super fast. So it's like the water pressure up against the dam and also the dam breaks. What I'm talking about is the idea that you won't have whatever it is you're debating that you will have. What I mean is, oh, the NBA season will come back. Oh, the NBA season will come back. Want to come back? Want to come back? And all of a sudden it's depression. It's not going to come back. I know the NFL is busy with the draft. It's busy with its offseason. Is there any kind of rumbling at all? I know externally there is, but internally, is there any kind of concern building that our season might be in jeopardy?
No. No. And it's blown my mind because I ask every person I talk to, whether it's a high-level source, somebody that has a lot of say in the league, down to just assistants, scouts, and I just like to hear what everyone's thinking and what their thoughts. And everyone says the same thing, which is they're just not the NFL will find a way. They will figure it out. And it could be denial, but it just doesn't. I don't get that sense. Obviously, Sean Payton's been really vocal about Corona, and I would think of all people, he would have been the most sort of concerned about this, the start of the season. And I know just from having conversations with him when he was sick, he was like, the season will still start on time. But in the meantime, we got to figure out a way to stop this and take care of ourselves. And if we keep taking care of ourselves the way I think we are, I think we'll be in good shape for the league to start on time.
All right, ESPN NFL Insider Diana Rossini here on the Will Cain Show. Always love having you. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks, guys. Miss you.
Miss you, too. If we do have it back, if they are right, it comes back, it may not look like what it looked like before. In our immediate past, college football, for example, it may look like the 1960s. I'll explain that. Plus, let's explore those Redskins trade options or what to do with that number two pick options. Because taking Chase Young, if you start putting math to it, might be the worst choice. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Chase Young, the defensive end at Ohio State, is supposedly a can't-miss prospect. More than a 50% chance of being a starter, and even greater, he might be an annual Pro Bowler. And yet the smartest thing for the Redskins might be to pass on him. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Let's take a look at the Redskins' options at number two. Obviously, the main option is to stand pat. Take Chase Young at number two. Another option, we just talked to ESPN NFL Insider Diana Rossini about, was to stand pat, but instead take the franchise quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. There is a growing sentiment, a drumbeat, if you will, that Tua is not just the best quarterback in this class, but that he might actually be a Hall of Famer. It's weird. There are cross currents because there are some scouts who are suggesting the media is overhyping Tua. And yet there are others like quarterback guru Trent Dilfer, who admittedly is working with Tua, who have said he's going to be a Hall of Famer. We'll get to all that a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, but that needs to be at least a consideration for the Skins to take Tua. In the same spirit that the Cardinals took Kyler Murray a year after taking Rosen, taking Tua a year after taking Haskins. But then the third option is to trade down. Mel Kiper was asked recently in a Q&A with fans, what would it take, what should it take for the Redskins to trade down from number two? And Kiper said, let's take an example. Let's use the Miami Dolphins. They're reportedly interested in Tua Tagovailoa. It would take the fifth pick, the 18th pick, which the Dolphins also own, and the 39th pick in the second round, which the Dolphins also own. If the Dolphins did own or did offer those three picks up to the Redskins, I would suggest run. Or I don't know how we're going to do it this year. Email quickly Commissioner Goodell and say you accept. Those three picks for the number two overall pick, even if you believe that Chase Young is your guy, you take them. You take them, you take them, you take them. You're dropping down only to number five, and it still puts you in range of one of the best defenders in this draft. It could end up being Isaiah Simmons. It could end up being Jeffrey Okuda, a linebacker or a cornerback. You're still going to have that opportunity, and those guys are also projected to be big-time players in the NFL, just playing the odds and the percentages. Defensive end is more valuable from a position standpoint, but then you're coming back at 18, and you're drafting again. And whoever's sitting there at 18, Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama, or whatever, he also has some math involved there. What kind of return he's going to be. Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a Pro Bowler? And then on down to number 39. You have the potential, and we understand the bust proposition at every single pick. But you have the potential to end up with three players. Maybe none of them necessarily quite as good or with quite the same opportunity to reach the heights that Chase Young might, but when added up together, add up to more. If Mel Kiper Jr.'s trade offer of 5, 18, and 39 is what is actually offered up in reality, I would take that in a heartbeat if I were the Redskins. I would pass on Chase Young. I would take quantity over perceived quality. The question is, what if it's even less? There's an article up on ESPN.com that does the math on all these things, and it says if it's simply the 5th and the 18th, the Redskins still should do that deal. In fact, it ranks what the Redskins should do with that number 2 pick, and it goes like this. First, they should take Tua Tagovailoa. That's the guy. That's a certain starter. That's a certain franchise quarterback. And if worst case scenario, they end up with an embarrassment of riches. Two franchise quarterbacks and you trade one of them away. Second, they trade down. They get this kind of bounty I've just been laying out. 5 and 18 or 5, 18 and 39. They end up with Okuda, McKinney. Who knows? Jordan Love. Whatever it is you want to draft, three players instead of one. And third, and least attractive, at least mathematically, third and least attractive in these options, take the guy that many regard as the best player in the draft, Chase Young, defensive end out of Ohio State, which is probably what the Redskins will do when it's all said and done because it is the safest option. But if they're presented with those other two choices, they should at least give it very serious consideration, and I would say fire if they're offered the opportunity to trade down. Rex Ryan's been on a tear lately, and we are, in response, tearing him apart. Last week, it was him ripping into Amari Cooper. This week, it's him seemingly ripping into his former quarterback, Geno Smith. But in actuality, it's him ripping into Bill Belichick. And in the process, I think, propping himself up. Rex did what we asked him to do. He told the truth. But what was his real motivation? You got to hear the latest sound from Rex Ryan on what he said about Brady, Belichick, and Geno Smith and why Geno Smith comes firing back. Plus, if we're going to retire the handshake, our Supreme Leader Nuno has some replacement suggestions. It's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.